So when we talk about praise and worship, there is going to be two components to this mindset shift thing that I talked about. The first component is something that we already talked about, you know, pretty in depth previously in a previous sermon series called All In. And so I won't, you know, hash out all the details from there, but it's important that I thought I should remind you again. The first part of this attitude change is we ought to see this place as not just a casual gathering. We ought to see this place as a gathering in God's presence. In the book of Revelation chapter 1, this is the passage that we base off this teaching. John, the writer of that book, he received a vision when he was worshiping. And he saw the Jesus who died and now is alive. And he saw Jesus walking among the seven churches, which is a symbol for all the churches. And that means that Jesus is present and he's alive and he's speaking to all of us today in here. That's how church works. You don't get emotional. You don't hear things from God because I am, you know, I have eloquent speech or whatever that we didn't. God is here. He's present. And a lot of times we struggle with something. We struggle that we can't see him with our physical eyes. The point of Revelation is that it's a spiritual reality. It's a spiritual world. You have to believe it to see it. That's the first attitude change. That's the first attitude change. Now, the second part of this attitude change is where I'm going to spend most of my time on today. And I want to address it by introducing a sort of a response that a lot of us would hear, or I would hear, when we talk about praise and worship. And it's the fact that a lot of us would think it's awkward. Praise and worship, it's awkward. Singing songs is awkward. Lifting hands is awkward. Clapping sometimes is cringy sometimes. And I understand. Sometimes the songs are too high for you. Sometimes it's too low for you. Sometimes I know you're not a singer. Not everybody likes to sing. I understand that. So that's the problem I want to deal with today. Why is it awkward? And how do we get rid of this awkwardness in worship and praise? Now, I'm going to take a little time to explain this, and hopefully you can follow along. In every sort of performance, stage, talk, concert, music thing, there's two parties involved. There's the audience, and there's the performers. There's the audience, and there's the performers. And what happens in this sort of dialogue and sort of, you know, chemistry going on is the performers would seek to draw out some response from the audience. Or the audience is expected to give some sort of a response to the performers. Now, where it gets awkward is when there's a mismatch between what you're expected to do and the quality of the performance here. I'll explain it again. When there's a mismatch between what you're expected to do and what happens here, you feel awkward. It's cringy. Some of you are looking like, what the heck are you talking about? I will give you an example. You'll get it right away. At the end of this year, there is going to be a concert. Anybody going to a Taylor Swift concert at the end of the year? Nobody. You know where is it not awkward for the audience to go crazy, to sing and dance and clap? Taylor Swift concert. This is a massive production of millions and millions of dollars. When you go on YouTube and you look at just some snippets, or you go to see the concert film, sometimes she's on a cabin. They brought a house onto the stage. Sometimes she looks like she's in a corporate building. Sometimes she looks like she's in a forest with a grand piano inside the forest. And sometimes things are a little bit more normal. She has a platform and there's fireworks and flags and pink stuff and purple stuff and stuff like that. And if you look at her outfits, Taylor Swift's outfit, beautiful. They're made by people whose last name I can't pronounce. I know Versace, that's the all I know. And then there's a guy called Roberto, and then some pasta, type of pasta name. I can't pronounce it. And then there's a Nicole and Felicia something. And then there's Alberta, it's not the province. Alberta something. you know, pink fluffy dress and gold dress, beautiful and glorious. This is a place where you're not going to find it awkward just to scream, right? If you look at the production, let's go to the production side. There is a massive LED wall behind her that brings colors, transports her to different places. You know, pink color for, you know, 1989 era. You know, the gold color, that's my era. Gold color for the Fearless era, you know. In front of her, there's an extended stage, you know, glass platform, transparent LED glass. Sometimes that's going to bring her to an ocean. Sometimes it's going to bring her to the forest. And then around the stage, there's like fire and fireworks and smoke machines all over, not to mention teams and teams of professional dancers just hyping her up, hyping everybody up. And just professional musicians and band members. And if you just listen to it, it's ground-shaking subwoofers and speakers, and your heart is pumping and pumping. And then your friend is so hyped. Your friend is so hyped. Everybody's crazy. This is a place where you don't feel awkward when you engage. This is the place where audience would dance and clap and scream and go crazy, because the audience reacts to what's on stage, the performers. And there's no mismatch. There's no mismatch. So there's no cringiness, there's no awkwardness. In fact, if you brought me there, it would be a little awkward. I would be like a tree there, blending in with the forest. I don't move. And people look at you, why are you here, man? That's awkward. You see what I mean? There's a mismatch between what happens on the stage, the performers, and what's expected of the audience. If there's no mismatch, there's no awkward or cringiness. Now, I have to admit, as the worship pastor here, there is a little bit, just a little bit of a difference, and a difference between here and what happens to Taylor Swift concerts. Just a little difference. So I understand that you can feel awkward, because sometimes we expect you to react like a Taylor Swift concert. But there's no Taylor Swift here. I'm not Taylor Swift. Our singers are pretty good, but I mean, probably nowhere close to Taylor Swift. We don't have LED walls in the back. We have it's pretty big TVs, and we have two carpets that we've been standing on for 2 years now. We don't got no cabins. We don't got no forest coming out of the back. I have no outfit designers. I have no makeup, as you can probably tell. We have pretty bland and pretty simple spotlights. We try our best with some of the LED stuff, but it's nowhere, you know, that LED floor and fire coming up. We have like 4 people in the band. We have speakers. We don't have subwoofers. We have no dancers. We don't have crowd like hyping up everybody else. And so it's awkward. It's cringy, because you are expected to give a Taylor Swift response to what happens here. So it's my goal today to solve this awkwardness problem, to solve this cringiness problem. How do we reconcile this mismatch? And I have a suggestion that we should look into the Bible, into one of the most sort of famous scenes of worship. Revelation chapter 4 and chapter 5. Now, I know, if you have been with us for a little bit, we've covered it before. But it's important. I want to bring us back to there. This Revelation chapter paints worship as it ought to be, and really as it is right now. And so the author is John. John receives this vision of what is happening in the spiritual world. And he records for all of us in this worship scene what he sees. This is the first thing he sees. He sees the one seated on the throne. The one seated on the throne is not on a cabin. He's not playing a grand piano on stage. He's not surrounded by forests. He's not surrounded by trees. He's on the throne of the universe. And the one on the throne has appearance of jasper and carnelian. He doesn't have makeup. That's not makeup. That's beauty. And around the throne, you won't find LED walls and back walls and lights. You find a rainbow. And what do you hear from the throne? From the throne comes flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder. And so you thought you like the subwoofer to shake the ground. What about lightning that shake the earth? And before the throne, you're not going to find fireworks and smoke machines and all that kind of stuff. You find 7 torches of fire. And before the throne is not an LED floor. It's a sea of glass like crystal. And you're not going to find dancers. You're not going to find musicians. You'll find 24 elders bowing down and four living creatures. They're not dancers. They're not musicians. They're angelic beings surrounding the one on the throne. That's what John sees in the ultimate worship scene. So how does that solve our awkwardness problem? How does that solve our awkwardness problem? When I was looking at the scripture, part of it is this, that we should stop looking at the music team as the performers. Because if you compare us always to Taylor Swift, you're always going to get bored, you're always going to get disappointed, and you're never going to not feel awkward. Music team is not the performer. And as I was looking at the passage, part of me wants to tell you, why don't you look at God? Look at that performance. Look at that performance. And when I was writing it up to there, I stopped. You know why I stopped? Because it's a little blasphemous to compare God to Taylor Swift. And when I was thinking about it a little bit more, I'm like, wait, hold on a second. God is not performing for you. God doesn't need your applause. God doesn't need your attention and approval so that you'll be interested enough that he can start a world tour. He's going to sell t-shirts. He's going to launch the next album, put like a concert movie out, make millions and trillions of dollars, and he's going to be the king of pop. Something is not quite right there. And so I looked into the picture a little bit more, and I found my solution to the awkwardness problem. Here's the complete picture. Around the throne were four living creatures. These angelic beings represent all of the created beings. They are the ones performing. They are the ones singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God." They are the performers. And then the angelic beings, when they worship and when they sing to God, 24 elders, they represent the Old Testament believers, the New Testament believers. They are the ones performing. They put their crowns down and they sing, "Worthy are you, our Lord and God." They are the ones performing. And then John saw Jesus portrayed as the Lamb. Jesus went and took God's will and he implemented it. He died and he rose back to life. And then the living creatures and the elders, they sang and worshiped again. And you know what John saw next? John heard the angels, up to thousands of thousands, millions of millions. They are performing. They are saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory." But they are the performers. Then John heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that's in them. They sing. They are performing. You are performing. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory. You are the performers. When you open up the worship scene and try to learn from it, you will find the stage is flipped. First of all, the music team is not here to entertain you. We'll never beat Taylor Swift. Second thing, God is not the performer either. He doesn't need to perform for you. He doesn't need you to, you know, give him some money, give him some. He doesn't need it. In fact, he's more of an audience than a performer. And the main point, you are the performer. You are the music team. We have music team that practices on Monday, and we have music team that shows up on Saturday. We have music team that knows the song ahead of time, and we have music team that comes to join in the song on Saturday. The music team is on the so-called stage, but we're not performing. We're giving you instructions. We're giving you the tune, we're giving you the melody, so what? So you can join us. the point of worship is that we're going to perform. We're going to sing. We're going to join into the song. The shift, the part two of the shift is we have to go from audience to performer. That's how you solve the awkwardness problem. Because when you're no longer the audience trying to compare the performance to Taylor Swift, and you are now the performer, things change. It's not a performance issue. It's a role issue. Now, I know this is a little theoretical. I want to spell out a little bit of what that means for us. I want to spell out for you. Sometimes there's these statements that I hear from the congregation, and I want to tell you what's perhaps, may I suggest, the correct mindset to go about them. The first thing that I hear all the time, I like the music today, which for the music team is a great compliment. Sometimes people will tell us, I dislike the music today, to which I will go home and cry. No, I don't. But that statement, you know what that statement tells me? That you're an audience. That we're critiquing everything. Now, it's not like you can't give comment. It's not like we don't want to grow. We want feedback and all that kind of stuff. But the main question you're going to ask yourself is your audience pleased? Does the audience like your music? Sometimes people will tell us, I don't feel like singing. You know what performers say? You know what music team members say? I'm sick. I don't feel that well. But I got to do it anyway. That's my role. Some other things that I would hear. Some people would get disappointed by lackluster performance. We're not perfect people. I sing off pitch all the time. I miss an entrance all the time. Some people get disappointed. But you know what performers do? You know what we do here? We hype each other up. We're like, it's okay, move on, go to the next part. Why don't you keep on giving your, that's a performer. Audience, people would think you're crazy or maybe cringy. A performer would say, wait, doesn't matter. I gotta hype up the team. My team member is feeling a little low. Yo, you got this. You got this. Some other things that you may have thought of. People may say, oh, it doesn't matter if I sing or not. Nobody can hear me anyway. It doesn't matter. If you're the music team, if you're part of the worship team, if you're a performer, your part matters. I want to let you know your part matters. Your voice matters. If you clap or not, it matters. It changes things because we are a team. And then a very similar thing is, oh, it doesn't matter if I'm late or not. It doesn't matter if I'm prep or not. I'm going to sleep till... Well, I'm going to sleep at 3 a.m. yesterday night. I'm going to wake up at 5 p.m. and I'm going to make it just in time. But the performance is, wait, hold on a second. I have a show tomorrow. I got to prepare. I'm going to sleep early. I'm going to come here early. I better get my voice ready. I got to get all these muscles and warm up, that kind of stuff, you know? That's different. It's a mindset shift. And I wonder sometimes we find it awkward and we can't engage in worship because we got the roles wrong, man. You will never enjoy, engage, or encounter God in worship if you are a spectator and audience. I promise you that. You will always get bored. You'll always get disappointed. But I can promise you the other thing. If you start to take on the role of performer, I have my part in here. I got to sing. I got to join into that team. I promise you, things will be different. Your worship will be much more meaningful and joyful. You know what that did? Hopefully, you're able to see that your singing is important because the guy next to you needs your line. If you don't sing, he's not going to know the line. Your part's important. You are a part of this worship choir together. It's not me singing. It's you singing. Now, I want to go through something very important, and then we'll do a little bit more singing. Now that you are part of the music team, part of the worship team, you're the music team that shows up on Saturday and Saturday only. I need to tell you what you can do with all of the music elements in the flow. I'll go quick, just so that you know, you're aware. The first thing is I thought you should be sort of fill in on what we're doing here with our setup. Howard, can we show the setup slide? Okay, there's some water over here. That's okay. We'll clean up. I mean, living water flowing from, okay. That's okay. The setup, you know, why we do the setup here, we could have laid out everybody on the line. But these people, with their back facing you, these musicians, it's not like they have not beautiful faces. It's because we want you to know that you are in a team. They're beautiful. They can stand here and they can play to you, but we don't want to do that. That's the setup thing that we want you to know. Second thing, I want you to know about the songs. The songs. We sing, if you have been paying attention, the songs come we change them every 2 weeks. It's not because we're lazy. It's not because we're lazy. It's because we want you to learn the parts. We want you to learn the song. We want you to know what's going on. The third thing I want you to know, a lot of times, you will find that the keys are a little high and a little low. So sometimes a lot of girls say, oh, that song is so high, and a lot of guys say, oh, that song is so low. You know who you have to thank for that? Not me. Not the songwriters. Thank God for that. Because for some reason, when he created man and female, he said, let them have different voice ranges. And he made it so that you guys are offset just enough that when the girl is singing comfortably, the guys are not going to be singing comfortably. And when the guys are singing comfortably, the girl's like, it's too high. So thank God for that. Now, I wanted to let you know what you do here. In most cases, we try to have a female and a male leader. When the female leader, song leader, is leading the song, that means females, girls, that's your part. Now, not to say guys, you don't sing. But female, that's a song chosen for your key. Does that make sense? Vice versa for guys. Second thing, I want to challenge you. You guys seem to be doing pretty good with holding the parts. Most of the time, or some of the time, when it's a female leading a song, the guy will sing a harmony part. If you can catch it, you can sing the harmony part. You don't all have to sing unison. If you don't know what I just talked about, who cares? Just follow whoever. If you can follow the female leader singing the harmony, cool. Then let the guy do the lead. You see what I mean? It's impossible to have a key that matches everybody because this is a choir. You need four parts to match everybody's line. Now, so when we sing the songs, it's going to be impossible. Some songs are just feel a little high. Some songs are going to feel a little low. We try our best. I try my best. I sing all the songs really low all the time. So what you do is if you have a female leader leading your song, you better belt it out. That's your part. And if you have a guy leader singing, pray, that's your part, guys. Let me hear that, okay? A couple more things. Music sections. Sometimes when we go into song flows and we're singing and then you know everybody's like that, and then when there's like a music section, everybody goes. That's part of the worship, man. It's not like I needed a break. It's because you needed a break. You needed to let some time to sink into the music. You know what you can do? You can pray. You can keep your hands lifted. The hand does not equate to singing. You know what I mean? You can use that part to pray, use that silent time. Sometimes you'll hear people up here doing weird stuff. That's okay. You can sing stuff there. You can pray. If you're comfortable, you can pray out loud. If there's a word or two that really struck with you, why don't you use that to pray? That's the time for you. Next thing. Sometimes we'll have spontaneous moments. You will see me or somebody in here yelling weird stuff and then giving signals. If you can read the signals, I'm not going to go through all of them. If you can read the signals, it's cool. I don't mind you reading the signals. Because you know what it is? These spontaneous moments, sometimes we'll add a section to a song. Sometimes we'll repeat the song. Sometimes the song is too long and we'll cut it short. That depends on you. It doesn't depend on me. It depends. If you are engaged, if we feel like, wow, that part, the congregation is being really loud. They really like this section. You know what I'll do? I'll loop it until the end. That's dependent on you. But if I hear, I'll move on. So that depends on you. That is us making music together. The song changes as we go. Next thing. Sometimes you will hear us, when we're singing, we'll come off the mic. Singing will come off, we'll go farther and farther. It's not like I have to cough. Sometimes I do, but most of the time it's not. It's because we feel like the congregation knows the part well enough that you can sing on your own. I want you to hear yourself. We want you to hear each other's part. If I sing all the time, then you're just hearing me. One more thing I want to teach you. This is important. When we're talking about worship, we've been talking about singing for a lot. Worship is not just singing. Worship is not a vocal cord exercise. Worship is a whole person thing. You know, the word worship gets translated from the Hebrew, and the original text sometimes says bowing down, sometimes says hey, raising hands, sometimes says shouting, sometimes says dancing, sometimes says, you know, all that kind of stuff. Come in English is worship. Worship is not just singing. So this is why we teach all the time. You use your body to worship. If the song is too high, why don't you lift your hand higher? You know what I mean? Your body posture reflects your worship, the heart of your worship. And also your body posture, a lot of times, will change the way you worship. So I will give you three things you can think about. There's a lot more than this, but I'll give you three things. Now, there's no point of me just talking about, you got to try this. So I'm so sorry, I'm going to have you stand again. Let's all stand. Music team, can you come up, please? So the first thing that gets translated, side note, before I talk about this. A lot of times, if you raise your hand, you're going to hit that person next to you. Can you tell them, I'm sorry, I'm going to hit you? Tell them, I'm sorry, I'm going to hit you. Tell them. Okay, now, so if you don't want to hit them, I'll give you a permission. All of you, you have this permission from now on. You don't have to stand right in front of your chair. You hear what I mean? You don't have to stand right in front of your chair. In fact, can people on the edges of the section, can you move out a bit? Just fill the aisles. Fill the aisles. So that when you actually put your hands out, you're not going to hit. You're not going to be, yeah, there we go. Yeah, that is a great spot, by the way. That, in front, yeah, there we go. Shirley has that spot. You have all the room. You can fill out the back. You don't have to just be in front of your chair. I understand if the person's next to you, you don't have room. If it wasn't, you can move a little. Yeah, why don't you move here? Yeah, come on. Yeah, so you have more room. Yeah, you got to spread out. You have our permission. Every time we go to worship now, the pastors are going to tell you, going to give you a little cue. Move to somewhere you're comfortable. If you want to go to in front of the kitchen, go ahead, by all means. So if you need some space, if you want to come up here and join Elaine right here, be my guest. Come over here. You have permission. You don't have to stay in your seat. So then you can have more room. Does that make sense? Okay, first thing, lifting hands. Lifting hands is a form of worship. Now, there's three ways. You guys are so great. There's three ways to do this. I thought I would go easy on you. Okay, I'll give you the first one, the intro one. Nobody needs the intro one, but you have the intro one. Intro one is right here. You know why you need the intro one? Because nobody can see you. If you're that concerned about people feeling you awkward, okay, having done what we've done today, nobody's going to see you awkward. But if you want to start real, real beginner step, that's where you go. You take it from that pocket and just put it out. You know what this means? There's a meaning to this. I don't want you to just have no meaning, okay? There's meaning to this. This means my posture, my arm, my body is open. It's obedience. It's obedience. It means here I am. Obedience. Or I'm receiving something. That's my hand. I'm receiving something. I'm receiving it. That's why when we do benediction and blessing, I'm receiving something. That's your first one, level one. If you want to grab your level two, put it on your heart. There you go. Okay, this is also a little discreet. This is real cool. You know what I mean. What this does is you're telling yourself, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that's within here. Bless the Lord and praise his holy name. That's what you're saying. If there's a lyric that says, oh, you got to trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. God's faithful in all circumstances. You got to tell yourself that. You got to tell your heart, come on. You got to be for him, you know? That's the second. Now, the third one, you guys know this. Just raise it up. Put your hands up. Now, there's different levels to this. Sometimes, yeah, you're going to get tired, but just it's okay. Just work out your arms after. Sometimes I see people do a 90-degree angle like this. There you go. Okay. Sometimes I see people do like this. My challenge is, why don't you just go all the way, man? God's worthy and he's greatly to be praised. Just put all, nobody's going to, you're going to block somebody, who cares, just to have them sit further up in the next time. There you go. It's not that awkward. Come on, if everybody does it, it's not awkward. Okay, just put your hands down. Second thing, sometimes we clap at the end of the song. The clap is not for me. I don't clap with you. I don't like bow and like, oh, thanks, you know, like, oh, they appreciate it. I don't do that. But I clap with you. That clap is not for me. That clap's for the audience. Now, the second thing, you clap during the music sometimes. That's not just to, you know, it feels good and all that stuff. Clapping is a biblical worship. You know what it means? It means amen. It's a form of amen. It means I believe with the bottom of my heart that this is what God says. You know what I mean? That's what it is. That's your expression. Sometimes people just, yeah, amen, all that. It means I believe. It is so. Let it be. That's what the clapping does. Third thing, if this is the ultimate challenge, if you're able, if you're comfortable, behind that. You don't have to do it here. I won't make you do it here. If you're physically able, you can go to a place in the fireside room or just right there, just bow down. That's my favorite posture to worship. You're in front of the holy God. You're in front of the God of heaven and earth, and he has his throne, and he's there. There's nothing you can do but bow down, man. That's the third posture. There's a lot more, but I'll give you these. If you're physically able, you can do any of those. Now, I've talked for a long time. You should try this. For the most part, at the beginning, you're going to feel a little awkward still. But just remember, we're all on this team together. Nobody's going to think you're awkward. Nobody's going to think you're weird. Nobody's going to think you're cringe. And in fact, our teaching to all of our music team members is, can you try this? Every week, every song, every line that you sing, can you give a little bit more? One of our pastors teaches us, you know you're doing it right when you're sweating. You know you're doing it right when your voice is like tired, man. I'm tired all the time up here. You know you're doing it right when you start to have some biceps and shoulder muscles. All the ladies, come on, like that's your workout. You know you're doing it right when it works you, when it hurts you, when you're giving something. That's performance. Does that make sense? So I encourage you to try. We are here to worship, not watch. Now, again, if you haven't made some room already, just tell the person next to you, I'm going to make some room. I'm going to hit you. I don't want to hit you. Just move out to the side if you want to. Move out to the edges. You go anywhere you're comfortable. You go anywhere you're comfortable. Let's pray together. God, we're coming here to praise you and worship you. We're coming into your presence to worship you. We're learning to praise and worship you once again. God, our prayer is that you'll let us experience you. Our prayer is that you'll let us go all out with all of our heart and our soul and our mind and our body. I pray all of this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.